Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'd like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 of Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis that's going to be carrying Mark Dankoff's America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South. And in the days ahead, of course, we're going to be expanding our international shortwave outreach, as well as our Internet archive system, which is about to be reloaded. Toward the end of next week, you might look for that to see if it's happened yet. We are not only going to have all of the shows archived at that particular juncture, but hopefully by that time, all of the different hosts on the Republic Broadcasting Network will have an opportunity to add the show subjects and descriptions and URLs of some of the guests to make that totally user-friendly for browsers around the world who listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network, which you can find, of course, at www.republicbroadcasting.org. We've been talking in the last hour with Mehdi Amini of United Republicans of Iran for a Secular and Democratic Republic. You can find the English-language version of that organization's website, again, at iranrepublic.com. You can find the Persian-language version of that website at jamhuri.org. I'm spelling this correctly, jomhouri.org.
.com. It's actually .com.
It's .com. Yes. Both of them are .com?
No. The jomhuri.com, the Farsi one is .com, the other one is .org, Iran Republic.
Thank you. Okay. I don't normally make those kinds of mistakes. That's with my radio network and computer system down, I don't have the URLs directly in front of me. So it's iranrepublic.org.
Correct.
It's the English language site. And the Persian site is jamhuri.com.
Correct.
Good. We'll have the opportunity to mention that again throughout the last hour of the show. Thanks, Mehdi.
Sure.
In regard to the present situation then in Iran, mm-hmm. we were talking a little bit about this business of the Supreme Leader and then, of course, the Guardians Council, the Assembly of Experts, the Expediency Council. How do these different things relate to one another, and do the people of Iran, presumably those particularly under the age of 30, find some of these elements of the Islamic Constitution to be a particular impediment to a greater sense of democracy and participation in the Iranian political process that can't be overturned, say, by the actions of a council, which I guess at this particular point they could be?
Yeah, well, of course, the Assembly of Experts, its responsibility is to appoint the Supreme Leader. And its members are all clergy, and they are, the nominees are vetted through the Guardian Council, where the Guardian Council also, half of its members are appointed by the leader. So, you know, at the end of the day, the leader controls its own destiny.
Yes.
And the Expediency Council is headed by, of course, Rafsanjani, and its role is to mediate between the Majlis and the Guardian Council. If there are differences on by passing a law, it comes down and decides in one way or another. And then that is also nominate the member. Its member is nominated by the Guardian Council. So they are very intertwined, and one controls the other, more or less.
We'll be back for extended conversation with Mehdi Amini of United Republicans of Iran for a Secular and Democratic Republic when Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mehdi Amini of the United Republicans of Iran for a Secular and Democratic Republic. You can find those websites at iranrepublic.org if you need to read it in English. If you are fluent in Persian or Farsi, you can find it at jomhuri.com. That's jomhouri.com. I also wanted to mention, for those of you in San Antonio and points nearby, we're looking for a place to be in church this Sunday, Palm Sunday. You can find me at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 130 Saipan in the south side of town for a Palm Sunday service at 10:30 in the morning. That's Emmanuel Lutheran Church, 130 Saipan in San Antonio on the south side of town off of Southwest Military Highway, and then subsequently off of Pleasanton. Make a turn off of Pleasanton on to Saipan, and you are there at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 10:30 Central Time Sunday in regard to a service there for Palm Sunday. Mehdi, getting back to our conversation here, are you hearing me okay?
Yes, I can.
Good. I apologize for the technical problems here today. I have a pretty intricate radio studio and computer and telephone hookup here in San Antonio, which in turn hooks up to my technician with the Republic Broadcasting Network in Round Rock outside of Austin, the capital of Texas. And I've often wondered if I had a full-blown electrical storm, where I had to shut a few systems down if I could still function via cell phone. And so today I'm discovering that the ultimate emergency backup system does in fact work, that we've been
That's
able
good.
To keep you on the air this morning, and I'm glad for that because this is a particularly important broadcast to me because I rely on inside sources to tell me what's going on inside of Iran and what's going on within the Iranian expatriate community. And I need to do that, of course, because of my language limitations. I don't speak Persian or Farsi, and you're one of a series of folks that keeps me informed from the inside on what seems to be the inside take and what's happening in that situation over there at present. I wanted to ask you, Mehdi, I've read a lot of things in recent times about different things going on in Iran and different provinces. There have been some tensions in Azerbaijan, as I understand it, in recent times. There have been some things that have happened in Khuzestan province in Iran, which is the center of Iran's oil-producing industry, and it has a large ethnically Arab population, as I understand it, in that province, which borders Iraq. There's been talk about some things that have happened in recent times in Balochistan province in southeastern Iran that have involved some incidents that have taken place. To what extent, in your view, do these things being reported on in these various provinces indicate some degree of dissatisfaction with the central regime in Tehran on the part of elements in places like Azerbaijan and Khuzestan province and Balochistan province? And to what extent should we see those things happening in these provinces as the result of manipulation by outside foreign influences? There's been a lot of talk, for example, in Pat Buchanan's American Conservative about reports that the British MI6 and the American CIA and the Israeli Mossad have been tinkering around in some of these provinces. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I would not put it as, you know, I think there certainly is, I mean, some of it are legitimate, you know, grievances, but I wouldn't put it aside that foreign forces may not have had some hands in escalating it even further than what it is. And in fact, I believe, as I had attended one of the meetings just as a participant of American Enterprise Institute, I believe it is one of their agenda to create tension between different nationalities in Iran. This has been a program of theirs to do that. And they had invited supposedly some of the leaders of the different nationalities to discuss, you know, the issue of nationalities. And I think that is not at all impossible that they have some kind of influence on what is happening in those areas.
Yes, in terms of the American Enterprise Institute, I know a little bit about that organization, not a great deal. There are those, of course, who know more about this than I do, who look at an organization like the AEI, or American Enterprise Institute, and see the fingerprints of the Israeli lobby and the American petroleum conglomerates as having connections to a think tank like that. If that is the case, and of course this is debatable, but this is a charge that's made from time to time, what are we to make of some of the connections, public connections, between some of the Iranian expatriates in the United States who have public personas and groups like the American Enterprise Institute? I noticed, for example, that they in the past have sponsored speaking symposiums, which, if I'm remembering this correctly, have even included Mr. Pahlavi. What do you make of this?
Well, that goes again back on, you know, the dependency of these individuals that expect change to happen with the help of outsiders.
Yes.
And that's very unfortunate, but that is the reality of the fact. And we have seen people come in, you know, they were seeking like a Chalabi type leadership for the Iranian supposedly democratic movement. And there's a few opportunistic people, including the recently supposedly released or escaped Fakhravar, who supposedly was in prison and was talking to Richard Perle on the phone from prison. And he came back here, and he was started working for American Enterprise Institute. And, you know, it's very unfortunate that these people, you know, but, I mean, I'm sure every country has such people amongst them. But
yes,
these are not the majority of them.
I remember hearing about this Fakhravar. Haven't seen too much on him recently. His name is Amir Abbas Fakhravar.
Correct.
I had seen, you know, quite some time ago when his name surfaced in connection with the activities of the American Enterprise Institute, and I know some Americans here in San Antonio, Texas, who in days of old were a part of the American military or defense contracting presence in Iran, who said to me off the record, "Well, here we go again. Here's another attempt, to bring a front player in there who's going to presumably help to get one of our boys, quote unquote, back into power over there." And I said, "Well, I said that's my perception as well, as I just read this stuff on the internet." And I said, "To me, based upon what happened in Iran, in terms of their relationship with this country from 1953 through the end of the Islamic Revolution in 1979, I said, I think that would be a tragic mistake because, you know, the United States, and I'm speaking my own opinion here, the United States is not clean, certainly, in regard to events that took place in Iran between 1953 and 1979. And if there should be a so-called regime change in that country, where it is perceived that the United States and Britain and Israel, just to name three of the principals, and in conjunction with, of course, the so-called neoconservative movement that seems to be very much involved in supporting the Israeli lobby, supporting the American petroleum industry, and so forth, that if it's perceived that Richard Perle and Douglas Feith and Donald Rumsfeld and a few people of that ilk have managed to enact something over there that has installed some type of regime that does not truly represent the will of the Iranian people, I argue that it'll backfire.
Yes, I remember, I recall, when was it, about the, close to a year ago, we had a former political prisoner, Akbar Ganji, who I'm sure you know of him, you've heard
yes.
of him. He had come to the United States, and there was a plan of hunger strike in New York. And I was the spokesperson for, you know, the press contact for him for that event. And I got a call from one of the vice presidents of American Enterprise Institute, a lady by the name of Ms. Peltier or something like that. And she wanted to know if Ganji wanted to meet with any official U.S. government. And I said, no, his agenda is different than those who come here seeking the support of the U.S. government and start talking to them and asking for their support. He is purely here to raise the issue of human rights condition in Iran. And he has no interest of meeting anybody official or unofficial representative of the government. And she kept trying to, you know, ask, you know, to have a supposedly secret meeting. And she said, well, we could have a meeting without many announcements, without making it official. And I turned around and told, you know, I've learned from my experience in Washington, things don't stay secret for long. So they tend to try to influence the people, by Iranians, and some of them unfortunately take the bait and go up for it.
Yes. Do you find that that has complicated your work with the United Republicans of Iran for a secular and democratic republic in the sense that people who do not know you, people who do not know your organization, who just come across it on the World Wide Web, might be wondering, gee, I wonder if this isn't some sort of a front for American or Israeli or British interests. We'll take up that question when we come back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Mehdi Amini. You can find his websites at iranrepublic.org and jamhoori.com. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jog 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mehdi Amini of United Republicans of Iran for a Secular and Democratic Republic. You can find those websites at iranrepublic.org if you speak English and read English. If you're interested in the Persian language, Farsi, you can find the United Republicans of Iran website at jamhoori.com. That's jamhoury.com. Mehdi, we were talking a little bit about before the break about the fact that United Republicans of Iran, it seems to me, offers a very, very unique unique perspective on things going on in Iran, in that it is obviously opposed to Islamic theocracy, and on the other hand, is not in favor of the restoration of monarchy in Iran either. That there is a desire, as the title of the organization suggests, for a secular and democratic republic. This makes a lot of sense to a lot of people, I think, who look at your website. Mm-hmm. Do you find as your organization is being discovered by new people, that there is a need to explain things in a way that they understand, that they're not dealing here with something that is linked up to the American Enterprise Institute or the Israeli government or the British or to some particular sinister faction within the Iranian community that doesn't necessarily want the best interests of the nation as a whole. Do you find that that you find it important to explain things in detail about United Republicans of Iran in a way that people perceive that it truly is for an independent, autonomous Iran?
Are you asking about the American audience or the Iranians?
Maybe both.
I think the Iranian side is much easier because of the people who are active in this organization are very famous activists among the Iranian community.
Yes.
And they are very trustworthy, and people trust them. And, you know, I can't say 100%, but they are very well known, and they are very, they have been both active before the Islamic Republic during the Shah and afterwards. As far as the American audience, because unfortunately the name, sometimes they perceive that we are either like a Iranians that are support of like the Republican Party, or and that takes a little explanation that although it says United Republicans of Iran, it's not this side or that side. We are seeking a republic in Iran. So there's it takes a little explanation to do, but I think they can understand our positions, reading our site or the flyers or the interviews that we have done.
Yes. Do you find that most of your funding has come from indigenous Iranian sources?
Yes, it's solely right now it's members, donation.
Yes, if it isn't betraying a trade secret of some sort, about how many members do you have worldwide?
We have about 600.
About 600.
Right.
And presumably, and this gets into something that I wanted to ask you anyway in following mm-hmm. up on our discussion about Internet technology,
mm-hmm.
presumably the influence of those 600 people is going to multiply exponentially. And the reason I mention this is just as in my own situation, as an activist for the old American right, which is not the Bush neoconservative right by any stretch of the imagination, that with the old American right, we, of course, do not have the funding and the connections to the Israeli lobby and other things that characterize the Bush neoconservative wing within the American right. And so through the Republic Broadcasting Network and through the American Free Press, just to name two organs of opinion, one electronic, the other print, we have found that utilizing new technologies that we are reaching people through the Internet that we could not have possibly reached a generation ago, and therefore, the core groups that comprise this radio network and that comprise the American Free Press are being expanded by the utilization of all of these new non-traditional technologies that, in effect, are enabling us to do an end run around the major political parties and around the controlled American media. Do you find that that same thing is now true for what you're doing in that presumably both within the Iranian expatriate community in Europe and the United States and elsewhere, mm-hmm. as well as people within Iran, that the Internet technology is making a whole host of people, potentially thousands of people, aware of who and what you are?
Well, I think it is a very good tool, because especially, as we say, you know, Iranians inside Iran are probably, as we have heard, second or third among the world as far as the blogging and accessing the Internet. And that is a good source, because that's the best source of reaching them. It makes our work much easier since we are not allowed, for example, to participate in the Iranian political process. So we have to do it through the Internet.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio on RBN. We'll be back with Mehdi Amini of the United Republicans of Iran. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Blood in the streets of town of Chicago. Blood on the rise is following me. She came in town and she
we're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Mehdi Amini of the United Republicans of Iran for a Secular and Democratic Republic. You can find the English language version of that website at iranrepublic.org. That's iranrepublic.org. Persian or Farsi version of that website is jamhuri.com, J-O-M-H-O-U-R-I.com. I'm right now reading a couple of additional books on Iran to add to the ones I already have in my library. I mentioned earlier the Odyssey Books and Guides publication, Iran, Persia, Ancient and Modern. This is a joint work on the part of Helen Loveday, Bruce Vanell, Christoph Baumer, and Bijan Omrani. This volume is an incredible work which gets into Iran, past and present. The volume is 430 pages in length. There's a great index in it, lots of beautiful pictures and maps. It's a combination of travelogue and history and political analysis. You won't be disappointed in this thing if you get a hold of it, and I say that having no economic stake in that publication sale whatsoever. Would say the same thing about a book put out by the American Free Press, The CIA in Iran, the 1953 Coup, and the Origins of the U.S.-Iran Divide. This is published by the American Free Press, our friends in Washington, D.C. You can order this book toll-free at 1-888-699-NEWS. That's 1-888-699-NEWS. And again, I receive absolutely not one dime for mentioning this book on the air. I think it's a very valuable volume, particularly as it has all kinds of original documents in it emanating from the George Washington University National Security Archives in Washington, D.C., that will enable us all these years later to understand a little bit more about what the CIA was doing in Iran in 1953. And it makes for very interesting and very sobering reading. Back to our conversation then again with Mehdi Amini. Mehdi, do you find that there have been attempts in Iran to block your websites, or do people who surf the Internet in Iran have pretty much unrestricted access to seeing what you're putting out?
Well, there has been sites, including ours, that have been filtered, but there are the Iranians are very innovative, and they have always found ways of going around it and getting anti-filter softwares installed, and eventually they get through. But there has been attempts, yes.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting. It seems to me like a game of cat and mouse. I'm acquainted with somebody just online over there. I won't mention this person's name on the air for obvious reasons, but this individual operates out of Khorasan province, which is the home, original home, I guess, of Omar Khayyam, the very famous Persian poet. And this fellow corresponds with me from time to time and has done so for quite a number of years now. And it seems to me that as I hear from people like this fellow, it seems to me that, you know, despite the attempts of not only the government in Tehran, but the many governments all over the world who are not interested in free expression and exchange of ideas, they try to, of course, block Internet dissemination of news and conversation that's not according to their liking. But then there are these technologies that keep emerging out there to counter these efforts. And it'll be interesting to watch this in the days ahead as it pertains to Iran specifically, because one presumes with all the tension right now that both the American and British and Israeli governments, as well as the government in Tehran, may be concerned about the free exchange of information on some of these topics. But quite frankly, I hope that it continues, because when I look at your website, just as one example among many, and I compare what's there with the sort of thing that's found in the Wall Street Journal and in the Financial Times of London and the Washington Post and the New York Times, frankly, your site, for all the obvious reasons, is far more informative, and let's trust that that sort of Internet exchange, you know, continues in the days ahead. But if you can say this over the air without betraying any trade secrets, do you keep a count on the number of hits that your website gets, and how many of these are coming from Iran?
Unfortunately, I do not handle the website portion of it. There are other colleagues that I do not have such information.
Yes, and that's the same way I operate as well. I have a website, Mark Dankoff's America at markdankoff.com, and somebody manages that for me from time to time, and they have the statistics that I don't have in front of me in regard to how many people actually look at that. But you know, as I again examine this whole thing, with the number of places that I see starting to link to your website, including several websites that I write for that will post information on this broadcast, I trust that in the days ahead, your web director will be seeing an increase in traffic. as people log on to that site and discover that in the English language, there is plenty of information available to the non-Persian, non-Farsi-speaking public internationally, where at least if they know the English language, they can find information about Iran,
right.
What's going on there, as well as what's happening in the Iranian expatriate community, is simply not going to be available to them, and for all the obvious reasons, in established corporate media. So I wanted to mention again those sites, iranrepublic.org, and if you want the English language, if one is interested in the Persian version of this, they can go to Jomhuri, Jomhuri.com, and see information about the United Republicans of Iran for a secular and democratic republic. Back to this whole question then of the possibility of war between the United States and Iran, which I emphasize I don't want to see happen. It's a ghastly thought.
Mm-hmm.
I do not support at all this neoconservative idea that Iran should be attacked in any way, shape, or form. I think it would be a human rights tragedy. It would be an atrocity. It would be to the political detriment of both Iran and the United States, in my view, if such a thing were to happen. To what extent, Mehdi, do you think it's now a probability that it will happen? I know that we're all guessing here, but is your best guess that it's likely to take place?
I think considering the opposition that we have seen growing in the United States against any escalation of war, I'm hoping that it has helped to maybe diffuse the tension, maybe kind of make the possibility of another war, impossible. But I really do not, I cannot bet on that it's not going to happen. You know, it's really hard. One of those things that I am seeing that they keep saying that we will not attack, we will not attack. But as I had said earlier, you know, in order to diffuse the tension, you have to do some steps to help that, lowering the tension. And one of those is by removing some of the ships that are around there and start discussing. But by having those there, it doesn't help, you know, people. It's just the trust that as much as we don't have the trust for the Iranian government, I mean, there's the same mistrust for the U.S. government.
Yes. And, and to me, I think much of that is healthy. I think a number of us in the United States, Americans who are not Iranians or not Persians, who are looking at this present situation in the Middle East, just since March of 2003, all of the available poll numbers, of course, underscore beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Bush-Cheney initiative into Iraq, has less approval today than it has ever had, that there is a lot of distrust, distress over what has happened with American foreign policy in the Middle East. And many people, frankly, people on the American right who listen to the Republic Broadcasting Network and read the American Free Press out of Washington, lay much of the responsibility for this at the hands of the government of Israel and Jewish-oriented neoconservatives who arguably have had a tremendous influence in American foreign policy, that the links of Richard Perle and Douglas Feith and Paul Wolfowitz, just to name three, David Wormser comes to mind, with the government of Israel and with Jewish interests in the United States has not gone unnoticed. What is your perception about that influence of that lobby in the American domestic political scene, and to what extent do you think they are responsible for all of this present war talk as it relates to Iran?
Well, I'm sure with the discussion with the things that Ahmadinejad had said as far as annihilation of Israel, bombing of Israel. This does not help the situation, and surely I think Israeli influence has caused some of these tensions to grow. But I think at the same time, we should not forget that You know, I mean, what has come out of Tehran is not helpful at all to the situation.
Yes, and one can even argue, it seems to me, that the most extreme elements on both sides of the equation seem to be getting the most press time, which, of course, is not a positive development. In a slightly different vein here, what is your take on the present human rights situation in Iran and in Tehran specifically? Are we dealing with a police state over there? Is that a correct description of that present regime, or is that something that is overblown for Western political consumption and purposes?
No, I think this condition of human rights is abhorring, and what we have seen recently on the basic women's rights movement, that they, you know, arrested the women because they just went on a demonstration and they attacked them. It's the horrendous situation, you know, the death of the political prisoners, and it is much worse than during Khatami's presidency. And what little Iranians may have gained during that time, it's all but gone. And I think it is the worst situation we are facing right now.
So, in terms of then the Western media coverage of this, where there was talk that when Mohammad Khatami was president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, there was talk about a reforming movement that was having some degree of success, ostensibly in moderating some of Tehran's policies, and both internationally as well as domestically. Your reading is that that reform movement is largely dead, and that we're now dealing with the most extreme element within that government?
Exactly. I think that is come and gone, and even themselves agree that they were defeated, they lost the opportunity, because they didn't have any programs for the Iranians. They just came to power. They asked for certain things that they, since they didn't have any power, they couldn't get anywhere. And that's basically gone. And now we are facing with the military intelligence segment of the Iranian regime that's leading this government.
Yes, which obviously, if that's the case, obviously not a positive development either for the people of Iran or their relationship with the wider outside world. In regard to the present circumstance in that country, do you have any statistics from the inside on how many people who we might define, loosely speaking, as political prisoners are actually being incarcerated in jails in that country?
Well, since I really don't know the numbers, I'd rather refrain from guessing.
Yes.
I recall before the Islamic Republic, during the Shah's time, I was an activist in the Confederation of Iranian Students. We came up with a number that was not really, true.
Yes.
So I'd rather refrain. I mean, the number is not really an issue. It's just that there is political prison. That is the issue.
Yes. And I think it's a very responsible answer. I mean, so that's all well taken and well and good. In regard then to this whole situation as to where you fit on the Iranian political spectrum, we've talked about the fact that your organization is opposed to Islamic theocracy on the one hand, not in favor of the reestablishment of monarchy in Iran either. Does this place you in the same tradition as those in Iran who going back several generations ago were a part of what used to be called the National Front Movement?
Well, I believe we are in more or less, I mean, we are, but I would say the National Front was more, the tendency was more religious than, although they didn't emphasize it as in the government, but its members were more religious segments of the Iranian society. But I think we are, that I would put them around in the same category as we are, yes.
Yes. And again, it's interesting because it seems to me as an American who is watching all of this from the outside and who is not a specialist on Iran by any stretch of the imagination, that a lot of the political dialogue that I read about and hear about on this subject tends to find this dichotomy between supporters of the Islamic theocratic regime on the one hand and people on the other end of the spectrum in the Iranian political spectrum who want a return to Persian monarchy. In essence, it seems to me that the United Republicans of Iran have staked out a third position, which is neither of the other two, and which you believe, of course, provides the best opportunity for the people of that country to have an effective government and to be a truly autonomous and independent nation again. Do you think that in terms of the possibility that that could ever happen, that it will be using this term in the best sense of the word, a revolution from within Iran, that likely the element in that country under the age of 30 will lead that change, and that in regard to this, that we might see this in our lifetimes? I want to return to that subject when we come back. This is Mark Gankos, America, coming from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Mehdi Amini of United Republicans of Iran for a secular and democratic republic. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
we're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Mehdi Amini of the United Republicans of Iran for a Secular and Democratic Republic. You can find the English language version of that website at iranrepublic.org. You can find the Persian version at jamhuri.com, J-O-M-H-O-U-R-I.com. And I wanted to mention that when the Republic Broadcasting Network gets its archival system fully uploaded, which hopefully will occur about a week from now, that at republicbroadcasting.org, you will be able to find this conversation with Mehdi Amini. And by that time, hopefully, I will be into the database there at Republic Broadcasting Network to put this show description and the URLs of our guest in with this particular date on the show, as well as all of the other shows that I've been doing on the network. Nazanin Bonyadi, an Iranian actress and human rights activist, will join me on Monday from Southern California. And Phil Turney, yet our latest guest of the ill-fated USS Liberty, which was attacked by Israel on June the 8th, 1967, will join me on Tuesday, April 2nd, to talk about his own role as the damage control officer top deck in the immediate aftermath of that attack. I think you will find that to be a very poignant story coming directly from Phil Turney. And getting back to today's guest, Mehdi Amini, Mehdi, in these last couple of minutes before we're off the air, I wanted to ask you, do you think that the best solution to this crisis for the people of Iran is going to come from those under the age of 30 who comprise, as I understand it, maybe 50% of the total population in that country is 70 million? And do you think that the issue of cultural repression and the lack of political freedom, as well as economic problems, will be kind of the three-pronged set of issues that eventually will cause the present regime to fall under its own weight, the Western powers stay out of this thing, and allow the people of Iran to determine their own destiny?
I think the core of the change in Iran will, of course, be done by the younger generations. And as we have seen it, the student movement is very strong in Iran over the last few years. They have been very active. The women also have been very active. The women have been active since the beginning, opposing the forced veil and the dress codes and all that. They've been very active, and they've been active recently. So these two are the main cores of change in Iran. And unfortunately, the economic situation is so bad that the majority of the people are involved in a day-to-day survival. So I'm not sure, and it has been bad since many years now. I don't know necessarily just the economic issue will cause the downfall, but I think as the Iranians learn of what they want, and the expectations go high, I think that will force the Iranian authorities to change their attitudes.
Mehdi, thank you very much for being on. We will get this broadcast archived so people will eventually be able to listen to it online after the fact. Mehdi Amini has been our guest today at the United Republicans of Iran for a Secular and Democratic Republic. You can find his website at iranrepublic.org in English and jamhuri.com in the Persian language. We'll be back on Monday with Nazanin Bonyadi. Thanks to all the listeners for being with us today. This is Mark Dankoff's America signing off from San Antonio, Texas, and the Republic Broadcasting Network. God bless you.